Good morning and greetings in our Savior's name, and welcome as we join yet together on another online service. Just one announcement. Please keep all members of our congregation in prayer. And if you have an opportunity to give someone a telephone call, just see how they're doing, that would be absolutely wonderful. A good way for us to keep in touch. You may wish to have your Bibles with you this morning, and we're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 16. Our opening hymn, if we had been singing together, is Glory to His Name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing my sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name. And the chorus goes, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in, glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain, so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. And praise be to God. Father, we honor You, we praise You, we love You, we worship You. And we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We thank You for Your gift of creation, Your gift of salvation, and the gift of Your wonderful indwelling Holy Spirit for all who put their trust in Your Son, Jesus, as Savior and Lord. Guide us in our service this hour, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As believers in and followers of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we know something that the world does not know. We are privy to information because of God's Word, because of all of God's Word, including the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. What is that secret that we know that millions of people do not know? And that secret is that Jesus is returning to this earth and He is coming to rule. Praise be to God. Jesus shared with us much of the future that's going to take place. Now, it was future when John, the writer of the book of Revelation, it was future to him, and it is still future to us. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation talk about the entire church age from the day of Pentecost until its final day. However, the rest of the book of Revelation is all in the future. What we know is that not only is the Lord going to return at a given point in history future, but also that there are judgments that are going to come to the unbelieving world. So far in our study, we've looked at the seven seal judgments, and we looked at the seven trumpet judgments, and we are just beginning the seven bowl judgments. Last week, we looked at the first three of the bowl judgments. The purpose of these judgments is multifold. It is to chastise, to apply discipline, to punish those who ultimately decide to reject God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But also, these judgments are given to us in the book of Revelation, so they are a wake-up call. People are to wake up, and we are to look up, and we are to know that these things are coming. Of course, we know also that the Church of Jesus Christ will not be around for all of these judgments. For this we praise God. Last week I gave us a four-letter word to remember the sequence of events that are to take place. The word was CART, C-A-R-T. C-A stands for the church age. That's the age in which we are living now. The church age began at Pentecost and continues all the way down through the centuries to where we are today, and will conclude with the next letter word, R, at the rapture. At that point, the entire Church of Jesus Christ worldwide will be taken up to be with him forever and forever. People who belong to the church in the past, people who belong to the church even now, and in the future, if the Lord tarries. So we have C-A-R-T, C-A, church age, R, the rapture, and then comes the tribulation. And it is during this tribulation period that the judgments are going to come on this earth. Now, when the church of Jesus Christ is finally taken up out of this earth, there's going to be massive chaos going on throughout the world. Because after all, millions and millions of people will suddenly disappear. Perhaps a billion, I don't know how many, but they will disappear. There will be chaos, wondering what's going on. Out of this chaos will emerge a world leader, a world dictator, known in Scripture as the Antichrist. He will have a person with him known as the false prophet. Both of these two, the Antichrist and the false prophet, are absolutely against everything that God stands for. God stands for the people of Israel. God stands for his church. God stands for good and righteousness. God stands for creation. All of these things we discover that the Antichrist and the false prophet are against. God's patience will be running out, really going to run out during the tribulation period, because so many, many people will turn their back on him. And then finally will come that for which Christians have been praying for centuries, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can you imagine heaven's will, God's will as in heaven, being completed here on earth with those who will be here? Praise be to God. Last week, we looked at three of the bowl judgments being poured out on the people who have been left behind, all the unbelievers who are still left on earth. And we used three words beginning with the letter S: sore, seas, and springs. The first bowl was the pouring out of ugly and painful sores on all the people who had the mark of the beast. Now, the beast is the Antichrist, and the Antichrist will insist that everyone pay allegiance to him. And to prove their allegiance, they will have to have a mark on their forehead or on their right hand. That proves allegiance to him. Those who take this mark have turned their back on, have totally and completely rejected God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So these painful sores and ugly sores are going to be on all who have the mark of the beast. And then the second bowl is poured out, and that's when all the seas are going to turn to blood, and everything in all the seas throughout the earth will die. It'll be an absolutely traumatic event throughout this earth. And then the springs and the fresh water, they will turn to blood as well, and everything there will die. Can you imagine? There'll be no drinkable water around unless somebody has a grand supply of bottled water. And who knows? Something may even happen to bottled water as well. That we don't know. It has not been mentioned in Scripture. So now let us pick up the narrative as we turn to Revelation chapter 16, beginning to read at verse number 7 through to and including verse number 16. Let us hear the word of God. And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." Remember, the judgments, the first three bowls, have been issued by divine directive. These judgments are true, and they are just. There are more coming. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores. But they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons, performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on that great day of God Almighty. Jesus says, "Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed." Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So now continuing our alliteration for the titles of these plagues that are coming. There were sores, seas, and springs. And now the fourth angel pours out his bowl, and we see the word sun. Look at verses 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. There's something known as the Triple H weather, the hot, hazy, and humid. When I was younger, I didn't mind hot, hazy, and humid weather. But as I've gotten older, I find I don't like the hot, hazy, and humid weather anymore. I find it debilitating. I find it drains me of energy. However, I like the warm weather, and that's good. But when we think further about what's going to happen during this tribulation period, when the fourth angel pours out his bowl on the sun, and the sun has increased strength, and people are going to be scorched because of it. They're going to be hiding for shelter of some nature. Remember now, this heat is going to be intense, and there still is no water to drink. Verse 9 just absolutely astounds me when we read it, the last part of it. But they refuse to repent and glorify him. You know, it's true then and it is true today. There are people who refuse to repent. We need to repent of our sin. We need to repent of our rejection of Jesus. And we need to turn to him as our Savior and our Lord. The fifth angel pours out his bowl. The word I'm going to use beginning with the letter S is Satan. Now, we don't specifically see Satan in these two verses, but let's take a look at them, verses 10 and 11. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony, and you'll notice, and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. Astounding to me. Now, I've used the word S, or word Satan, beginning with S, and the word Satan doesn't appear there, but what we need to know is that the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, they both receive all of their power from none other than the father of all lies, from none other than the master, one who deceives everyone. Deceives, that's the word. Deceives everyone. Satan. There is great darkness going to be over the earth. Absolutely amazing when we think about it. The scorching of the sun and then great darkness. Perhaps some will look upon it as being relief, but the darkness will not be a time of relief. We remember way back to the story of Exodus when the children of Israel were still in Egypt. And when they were there, there was great darkness over all the land. The darkness was so great that the scripture says that the darkness could be felt. And then when our blessed Savior was crucified in Jerusalem, we know there was darkness over the earth. Darkness happened before. It is going to happen again. As I said earlier, if only people then and people now would repent of our sin, repent of turning our back on God, repent of not accepting Jesus as Savior. When we think about it, this master deceiver, Satan, has confused the world. He has blinded the eyes of many people. Many people who don't refer to the Word of God and therefore do not know that Jesus is returning one of these days, a day to which we as believers all look forward. Another great lie of Satan is the whole concept, the whole theory of evolution. It is still a theory. It can't be proven. We believe, of course, in creation. But when Satan has blinded the eyes of people to think that evolution is the way in which we got here, then they have no reason to look to a creator, no reason to believe in God Almighty, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. During this time of tribulation, over and over again, we read they refuse to repent of what they have done. The sixth angel pours out his bowl. And I'm using the words stream and spirits. Let's look at verses 12 to 14. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Now, I use the word stream just to point to the river Euphrates. However, this is no ordinary stream, and the spirits are no ordinary spirits. The river Euphrates, it's a big river. The spirits are three evil-like frogs. The Euphrates River. You'll notice the scripture refers to it as the great river Euphrates. We first see the word Euphrates in Genesis chapter 2. The river Euphrates appears in scripture 25 times. I'm intrigued by the fact that the river Euphrates is mentioned at the cradle of civilization and at the grave of civilization. This river is approximately 1,800 miles long. It often has been referred to as the line of demarcation between the people of the east and the people of the west. The river, as massive as it is, as long as it is going to be dried up. Now, we know in present-day geography that many of the countries through which the river Euphrates flows have put dams on the river. So the dams could be closed, and that could cause the river to dry up. God says the riverbed is going to be there. It's going to be dry. Whether it comes from the closing of the various dams or by divine action, I don't know. I suspect it will be by divine action. Now remember, the darkness has been over the earth, and some theologians have speculated and said they wonder whether or not when there's darkness over the earth, if this gives the kings of the east the opportunity to get ready to invade the Holy Land, to invade Israel, because apparently they're going to march up the river Euphrates on the dry bed. Interesting to me is that this river presently begins in northern Turkey, flows through Syria, Iraq, and ultimately into the Persian Gulf. Interesting to me is that all of these countries through which the great river Euphrates flows are all anti-Israel today. Six of the seven bowls of judgment have been poured out on the unbelieving earth. You'll note that in this passage that we read a few moments ago, out of the mouth came frog-like beings, out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These three, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, have often been referred to as the unholy trinity. Satan thinks he's equal to God. The Antichrist thinks that he's equal to Jesus and tries to duplicate his life. And the Holy Spirit, the false prophet, thinks he's equal to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 14. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole earth to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. They go out to deceive. That's why we as the church need to be so fortified with the Word of God so that we will not be deceived. I can almost guarantee that when the Antichrist comes to rule and the false prophet is his chief henchman, the false prophet bringing together all of the, quote, religious people of the world. Remember now, the church is absent, the true believers in Jesus. So all that will be coming will be a false religion of some nature. And I can see where the Bible will be absolutely outlawed. People will not be allowed to read it. They will therefore be more easily deceived. That's why it's so important for you and for me to know the Word of God, to know what it says about the present, the past, the present, and the future. This trinity of hell, frog-like beings, are going to escape from them, and these are spirits with special powers. They're getting ready for the battle. They have the ability to brainwash the leaders of our day. Perhaps some of those leaders are even present today and are being brainwashed and don't realize it. Do you remember back in the days of Moses when he appeared at the court of Pharaoh? And while he was there, he took his staff and threw it down on the ground, and it became a snake. And then the magicians of Pharaoh's court, they also threw their staves down, and they became snakes. The difference was that Moses' snake ate the other two. The magicians could not duplicate this. The magicians of Pharaoh's day were students of Satan. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation period. There'll be people around who will be students of Satan. There will be leaders who will be students of Satan. These demonic spirits have all emerged out of Satan. And they will have an ability to convince the people around that they are right. And any belief in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be wrong. They have proposed the annihilation of the people of Israel. But we know they're going to be in for a great surprise. In verse 15, Jesus said, "Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed." Jesus does not come to the church as a thief. We know he's coming back. We are looking forward to his return. We are awaiting that trumpet sound so that we'll be caught up to be with him in the air forever. And then, following that, the tribulation period begins. But at this point in history future, he comes like a thief. He comes when all of these battles, people are lined up for the Battle of Armageddon. They're ready to go and advance against Israel and advance against Jerusalem. And Jesus is going to return to them. He's going to come like a thief. We recognize that there will be massive numbers of invaders, perhaps using modern warfare. The whole world will be against Israel and Jerusalem. Can't you see it happening even today, where people of the world are against Israel? But no surprise to us, God is absolutely 100% victorious through it all. Well, all of this that we're looking at in the book of Revelation is very serious business. It's God's revelation to us. He gave us this revelation because he wanted us to know what was going to come so we could be prepared and we could be alert and we could put our trust in Jesus. All that our friends and family members and acquaintances and neighbors and everyone with whom we come in contact would come to understand their need for Jesus as Savior. We've just touched on the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to hear more about that at later time. But remember this, Armageddon, it is not the end of the world. It is not under the complete control of Satan, although he will think that it is, through the Antichrist, through the false prophet. And Armageddon is not going to come forth the way in which Hollywood tells us or some other film producer. Armageddon is going to happen precisely and exactly the way that the Word of God tells us. It's God's instrument to defeat Satan, Satan's rule on the earth, and to introduce Christ's kingdom on this earth, of which every true believer in Jesus will be a part. Praise be to God. Now, at the beginning of today's message and last week, I used the word CART, C-A-R-T. It's to stand for the progression of time, church age, rapture, tribulation. I'd like to add a letter, and the letter is A, and that stands for Armageddon. So, tribulation, and at the end of the tribulation period comes the battle of Armageddon. We are in the church age. We are awaiting the rapture. We are going to miss the tribulation. The tribulation is going to come 7 years, and then at the end of that tribulation comes the battle of Armageddon, the final battle on this world as we know it. My prayer is that you who are listening to my voice this day, that you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that you've placed all your trust in him, that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when that trumpet sounds, you will be with him in glory. Our Father and our God, we offer praise, honor, glory, and thanksgiving unto you. We praise you for your word. We thank you that you have given us your divine insight into all that's going to go on in the future. And Lord Jesus, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that we will be ready for the rapture. We'll be looking forward to it. And between now and then, we will have our prayer answered that you will provide for us at least one person during this coming year to whom we can witness, and they will become believers in Jesus. All of it we ask, all of this we ask in our Savior's name. Amen. And then if we were concluding our service today, if we were in the sanctuary, we'd be singing the hymn, Have Faith in God. Let's hear these words. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. I believe there are many people who are lonely during this pandemic time. Remember, continue to put your faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea, he will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust his word, and be patient. Have faith in God, he'll answer yet. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules. He reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you this day and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.